Chapter 9. Then called, preferred their loyalty to their religion, and complimented the popish line at expense of their share of the Reformation. But they paid dear for it, and their successors have learned better politics since. In these parts are also several good market towns, some in this county and some in the other, as Beckles, Bungay, Harleston, etc., all on the edge of the River Waveney, which parts here the counties of Suffolk and Norfolk. And here in a by place, and out of common remark, lies the ancient town of Hoxton, famous for being the place where St. Edmund was martyred, for whom so many cells and shrines have been set up and monasteries built, and in honor of whom the famous monastery of St. Edmundsbury, above mentioned, was founded, which most people erroneously think was the place where the said murder was committed. Besides the towns mentioned above, there are Aylesworth, Saxmundham, Debenham, Rye, all standing in this eastern side of Suffolk, in which, as I have said, the whole country is employed in dairies or in feeding of cattle. This part of England is also remarkable for being the first, where the feeding and fattening of cattle, both sheep as well as black cattle, with turnips, was first practiced in England, which is made a very great part of the improvement of their lands to this day, and from whence the practice is spread over most of the east and south parts of England to the great enriching of the farmers and increase of fat cattle. And though some have objected against the goodness of the flesh thus fed with turnips, and have fancied it would taste of the root, yet upon experience it is found that at market there is no difference, nor can they that buy single out one joint of mutton from another by the taste. So that the complaint which our nice palates at first made begins to cease of itself, and a very great quantity of beef and mutton also is brought every year, and every week to London from this side of England, and much more than was formerly known to be fed there. I cannot omit, however little it may seem, that this county of Suffolk is particularly famous for furnishing the city of London, and all the counties round with turkeys, and that it is thought there are more turkeys bred in this county and the part of Norfolk that adjoins to it than in all the rest of England, especially for sale, though this may be reckoned, as I say above, but a trifling thing to take notice of in these remarks. Yet, as I have hinted, that I shall observe how London is in general supplied with all its provisions from the whole body of the nation, and how every part of the island is engaged in some degree or other of that supply. On this account I could not omit it, nor will it be found so inconsiderable an article as some may imagine, if this be true, which I received an account of from a person living on the place, viz. That they have counted 300 droves of turkeys, for they drive them all in droves on foot, pass in one season over Stratford Bridge on the River Stour, which parts Suffolk from Essex, about 6 miles from Colchester, on the road from Ipswich to London. These droves, as they say, generally contain from 300 to 1,000 each drove, so that one may suppose them to contain 500 one with another, which is 150,000 in all, and yet this is one of the least passages, the numbers which travel by Newmarket Heath, and the open country and the forest, and also the numbers that come by Sudbury and Clare being many more. For the further supplies of the markets of London with poultry, of which these countries particularly abound, they have within these few years found it practicable to make the geese travel on foot too, as well as the turkeys, and a prodigious number are brought up to London in droves from the farthest parts of Norfolk, even from the fen country about Lynn, Downham, Wisbech, and the Washes, as also from all the east side of Norfolk and Suffolk, of whom it is very frequent now, to meet droves with 1,000, sometimes 2,000 in a drove. They begin to drive them generally in August, by which time the harvest is almost over, and the geese may feed in the stubbles as they go. Thus they hold on to the end of October, when the roads begin to be too stiff and deep for their broad feet and short legs to march in. Besides these methods of driving these creatures on foot, they have of late also invented a new method of carriage, being carts formed on purpose, with four stories or stages to put the creatures in one above another, by which invention one cart will carry a very great number, and for the smoother going they drive with two horses abreast, like a coach, so quartering the road for the ease of the gentry that thus ride. Changing horses, they travel night and day, so that they bring the fowl 70, 80, or 100 miles in 2 days and one night. The horses in this new fashioned voiture go two abreast, as above, but no perch below, as in a coach, but they are fastened together by a piece of wood lying crosswise upon their necks, by which they are kept even and together, and the driver sits on the top of the cart like as in the public carriages for the army, etc. In this manner they hurry away the creatures alive, and infinite numbers are thus carried to London every year. This method is also particular for the carrying young turkeys or turkey poults in their season, which are valuable, and yield a good price at market, as also for live chickens in the deer seasons, of all which a very great number are brought in this manner to London, and more prodigiously out of this country than any other part of England, which is the reason of my speaking of it here. In this part, which we call High Suffolk, there are not so many families of gentry or nobility placed as in the other side of the country. But it is observed, that though their seats are not so frequent here, their estates are, and the pleasure of West Suffolk, is much of it supported by the wealth of High Suffolk, for the richness of the lands and application of the people to all kinds of improvement is scarce credible. Also the farmers are so very considerable, and their farms and dairies so large, that it is very frequent for a farmer to have 1,000 pounds stock upon his farm in cows only. Norfolk, from High Suffolk I passed the Waveney into Norfolk, near Shoal Inn. In my passage I saw at Redgrave, the seat of the family, a most exquisite monument of Sir John Holt, Knight, late Lord Chief Justice of the King's Bench several years, and one of the most eminent lawyers of his time. One of the heirs of the family, is now building a fine seat about a mile on the south side of Ipswich, near the road. The epitaph or inscription on this monument is as follows. M.S.D. Johannes Holt, Equitisor. Totius Anglio in Banco Regis per 21 annos continuos capitalis justitiaria Guglielmo Regianica regini conciliaria perpetua. Libertatis ac legum Anglicarum asserteris, vindicis, custodis, vigilis acrescent intrepidi, Rolandus frater uncius and hieres optum de si marito posuit, di martis tho. 1709. Sublatus est ex oculis nostris natus 30 Decembris. Anno 1642. When we come into Norfolk, we see a face of diligence spread over the whole country, the vast manufactures carried on, in chief, by the Norwich weavers employs all the country round in spinning yarn for them, besides many thousand packs of yarn which they receive from other countries, even from as far as Yorkshire and Westmoreland, of which I shall speak in its place. This side of Norfolk is very populous, and thronged with great, and spacious market towns, more and larger than any other part of England so far from London, except Devonshire, and the West Riding of Yorkshire. For example, between the frontiers of Suffolk and the city of Norwich on this side, which is not above 22 miles in breadth, are the following market towns, viz. Colon, Thetford, Hingham, Harleston, Dis, West Dereham, E. Dereham, Harling, Attleborough, Wotton, Bucknam, Windham, Loddon, etc. Most of these towns are very populous and large, but that which is most remarkable is, that the whole country around them is so interspersed with villages, and those villages so large, and so full of people, that they are equal to market towns in other countries. In a word, they render this eastern part of Norfolk exceeding full of inhabitants. An eminent weaver of Norwich gave me a scheme of their trade on this occasion, by which, calculating from the number of looms at that time employed in the city of Norwich only, besides those employed in other towns in the same county, he made it appear very plain, that there were 120,000 people employed in the woolen, and silk and wool manufactures of that city only, Not that the people all lived in the city, though Norwich is a very large and populous city too. But, I say, they were employed for spinning the yarn used for such goods as were all made in that city. This account is curious enough, and very exact, but it is too long for the compass of this work. This shows the wonderful extent of the Norwich manufacture, or stuff weaving trade, by which so many thousands of families are maintained. Their trade, indeed, felt a very sensible decay, and the cries of the poor began to be very loud, when the wearing of painted calicoes was grown to such a height in England, as was seen about 2 or 3 years ago. But an act of Parliament having been obtained, though not without great struggle, in the years 1720 and 1721 for prohibiting the use and wearing of calicoes, the stuff trade revived incredibly. And as I passed this part of the country in the year 1723, the manufacturers assured me that there was not, in all the eastern and middle part of Norfolk, any hand unemployed, if they would work, and that the very children, after 4 or 5 years of age, could every one earn their own bread. But I return to speak of the villages and towns in the rest of the county. I shall come to the city of Norwich by itself. This throng of villages continues through all the east part of the country, which is of the greatest extent, and where the manufacture is chiefly carried on. If any part of it be waste, and thin of inhabitants, it is the west part, drawing a line from about Brand, or Brandon, south, to Walsingham, north. This part of the country indeed is full of open plains, and somewhat sandy and barren, and feeds great flocks of good sheep. But put it all together, the county of Norfolk has the most people in the least tract of land of any county in England, except about London, and Exon, and the West Riding of Yorkshire, as above. Add to this, that there is no single county in England, except as above, that can boast of 3 towns so populous, so rich, and so famous for trade and navigation, as in this county. By these 3 towns, I mean the city of Norwich, the towns of Yarmouth and Lynn. Besides that, it has several other seaports of very good trade, as Wisbech, Wells, Burnham, Clye, etc. Norwich is the capital of all the county, and the center of all the trade and manufactures which I have just mentioned. An ancient, large, rich, and populous city. If a stranger was only to ride through, or view the city of Norwich for a day, he would have much more reason to think there was a town without inhabitants than there is really to say so of Ipswich. But on the contrary, if he was to view the city, either on a Sabbath day, or on any public occasion, he would wonder where all the people could dwell, the multitude is so great. But the case is this. The inhabitants, being all busy at their manufactures, dwell in their garrets at their looms, and in their combing shops, so they call them, twisting mills, and other workhouses, almost all the works they are employed in being done within doors. There are in this city 32 parishes besides the cathedral, and a great many meeting houses of dissenters of all denominations. The public edifices are chiefly the castle, ancient and decayed, and now for many years past made use of for a gaol. The Duke of Norfolk's house was formerly kept well, and the gardens preserved for the pleasure and diversion of the citizens, but since feeling too sensibly the sinking circumstances of that once glorious family, who were the first peers and hereditary Earl Marshals of England. The walls of this city are reckoned 3 miles in circumference, taking in more ground than the city of London, but much of that ground lying open in pasture fields and gardens, nor does it seem to be, like some ancient places, a decayed, declining town, and that the walls mark out its ancient dimensions, for we do not see room to suppose that it was ever larger or more populous than it is now. But the walls seem to be placed, as if they expected, that the city would in time increase sufficiently, to fill them up with buildings. The cathedral of this city, is a fine fabric, and the spire steeple very high and beautiful. It is not ancient, the bishop's see, having been first at Thetford, from whence it was not translated hither till the 12th century. Yet the church has so many antiquities in it that our late great scholar and physician, Sir Thomas Browne, thought it worth his while to write a whole book to collect the monuments and inscriptions in this church, to which I refer the reader. The River Yare runs through this city, and is navigable thus far without the help of any art, that is to say, without locks or stops, and being increased by other waters, passes afterwards through a long tract of the richest meadows, and the largest, take them all together, that are anywhere in England, lying for 30 miles in length, from this city to Yarmouth, including the return of the said meadows on the bank of the Waveney south, and on the River Thurn north. Here is one thing indeed strange in itself, and more so, in that history seems to be quite ignorant of the occasion of it. The River Waveney is a considerable river, and of a deep and full channel, navigable for large barges as high as Beccles. It runs for a course of about 50 miles, between the two counties of Suffolk and Norfolk, as a boundary to both, and pushing on, though with a gentle stream, towards the sea, no one would doubt, but, that when they see the river growing broader and deeper, and going directly towards the sea, even to the edge of the beach, that is to say, within a mile of the main ocean, no stranger, I say, but would expect to see its entrance into the sea at that place, and a noble harbor for ships at the mouth of it, when on a sudden, the land rising high by the seaside, crosses the head of the river, like a dam, checks the whole course of it, and it returns, bending its course west, for 2 miles, or thereabouts, and then turning north, through another long course of meadows, joining to those just now mentioned, seeks out the River Yare, that it may join its water with hers, and find their way to the sea together. Some of our historians tell a long, fabulous story of this river being once open, and a famous harbor for ships belonging to a town of Lowestoft adjoining, but that the town of Yarmouth, envying the prosperity of the said town of Lowestoft, made war upon them, and that after many bloody battles, as well by sea as by land, they came at last to a decisive action at sea with their respective fleets, and the victory fell to the Yarmouth men, the Lowestoft fleet being overthrown and utterly destroyed. And that upon this victory, the Yarmouth men either actually did stop up the mouth of the said river, or obliged the vanquished Lowestoft men to do it themselves, and bound them never to attempt to open it again. I believe my share of this story, and I recommend no more of it to the reader, adding that I see no authority for the relation. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.